Oh shit. Oh shit, it's that fucking day. Today is the fucking day. Monday, May 6th. Cinco de Mayo could suck my dick. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today's a whole different day. Take the tequila, take the sweet and sour out and drink it straight. Pour it on your fucking cock. It's gonna be that type of Monday. The church of what's happening now, motherfucker. Lee Syatt in the house. Kick it, Lee. Let them get this shit in their veins. Oh shit. How many more times are you gonna get kicked in the ass by that fucking boss? How many more times is this chick gonna fucking lie to you before you stab her in the fucking forehead? How many more fucking times have to kick in the ass before you take what belongs to you and tell all these motherfuckers they could suck your big black cock? It's a beautiful day to be alive.
I'm definitely getting kicked out of my apartment
today. Oh, shit. Please.
There's a black family that lives below me.
Be the fuck them. Get up to you, black fucks. Jumping jacks. Put the afros on. What's up, baby?
Not much, man. How's Austin?
Beautiful fucking Iron Man over here. What? Stabbing the fucking heart.
I saw two Iron Man with friends. They wanted to see Iron Man. I went to see Iron Man. It was fun.
Yeah.
Relax.
Your fucking reefer of Iron
Man. I already smoked. You smoked down in the end.
Little red shirt, like you can fly around.
Anything fucking that's fun. You gotta, what? You go to the fucking movies? What? You have dinner? What?
No. He went to the movies with two chicks instead of one like he was supposed to. It's hard enough for him with the one. He has to go with her friend, too, instead of saying, no, who's this fucking chick? Get the fuck out of here. I'm trying to sling some dick. You follow me? That's all I'm trying to do. I ain't
what am I, 12? I'm making out of the movies again?
Sure. That's where it starts. And the fucking, you know, you go to a movie to see that shit.
Yeah.
You're fucking 24 years old. You really gotta see Iron Man flying around? Get it together, cocksucker.
It was a good movie.
Mm,
you fuck. You can't get mad about everything.
It's a good movie. Yeah, good.
Jesus Christ. No, what?
I gotta
what?
Toughen you up over here.
You like ice cream? Fuck you.
I love ice cream.
You don't need ice cream. You eat gelato. Like I'm really telling you.
I love ice cream. I just say, you're supposed to be banging this chick a month ago and you're still going to movies with her and the girl. That's all I'm trying to say. An Iron Man. You gotta take it as something romantic if you want a finger banger in the movie theater.
She has a boyfriend right now. I can't do that.
This is what I deal with people every fucking day of my life. I got sons, I got soldiers, this fucking glute over here, whatever the fuck he is.
You just make up words.
But I'm proud of you. You fucking swam. That's like,
I did, that was
fun.
That's
like a Jewish mook. A glute. That's like a Jew mook.
Yeah, I did. I was actually, because you were in Austin and you were on the On It podcast. And you brought me up. You didn't say my name, but you just said, like, I have a pool in the gym. I do. And we were talking last week and he said, did you swim? And I said, no. And it's not because of my joints or anything. It's honestly, and I hate using the term lazy because I work hard at other things, but I've always hated working out. So it's a kind of laziness. And I was sitting here watching and I was like, I should go swim. And it was like 100 degrees. I was hot this
morning. Fucking hot. It's hot out there. The water's nice. To jump in there, it's kind of nice.
And I did 6 laps, but I would do a length, and I'd have to take a break.
Yeah.
I haven't swam for fucking 10 years. But I know how to swim because I've taken swimming lessons.
So you
lessons.
Swam, actually.
I know, I did
laps. I just wanted you to run across.
Oh, no. It's
you fucking
a deep
run
end.
Across. That's a fucking nightmare, too. That really fucks
well,
you.
Well, it's a deep end, and I'm fucking 5'4", so halfway through, I sink. So I had to swim. But no, it was a good time, and I couldn't do it yesterday because it was a little too cold.
It's cold. It's
I'm
cold
gonna,
today, too. It's raining.
I'm going to keep doing it because it was fun.
Get some sun. You'll be a little dark-skinned Jew.
Oh, shit.
You know, from the northern hills of Jerusalem. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. And people understand, like, swimming is the easiest fucking thing. Like, if you put a belt on, like, I'll get you a belt. You go to sports, Laurel Canyon and Moore Park, you can buy a swimming belt.
Oh, like for weights?
And you can run. No, it keeps you afloat. So you can float in the pool. And you ride your bike. Like, in your mind, you're pushing your bike.
Okay.
In the deep end, 15 fucking minutes. You have no pain. It's not like... Listen, this is the misnomer that they have with fat guys, that we go to a gym and all of a sudden they got us jumping on a box doing PX90. You know, that's great at fucking first, but all those guys at the PX, they didn't show them in the fucking beginning. They show them fat in the fucking picture.
Yeah.
They didn't show them jumping up and fucking down in the beginning like that. No, they fucking didn't, okay? Because any fucking fat guy without warming up properly is going to get fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And then you know how many PX90s you're going to go to? Not too many fucking PX90s. It's like PX3. Three fucking days of PX and you're fucking done. So all I'm trying to do is look out for a motherfucker, because I know I started out in that fucking pool when I was 415 pounds. They put me on a treadmill. And the guy goes, who the hell put you on a treadmill? It's fucking retarded, because you're going to hurt your feet, your joints are going to hurt, unless you do it to supplement what you're doing, like a day or two, and then you swim 3 days or something.
Yeah.
I don't want you sore. I don't want you thinking about it. I want it to be fun. And by it being fun, what happens is you go in the pool, right? You go in the pool. You go in the pool. You go in the fucking pool. You get sun. You go in the fucking pool. And one day, there's a fat chick or a hot chick in the pool, or this kid in the pool, and you can't get out of the pool the usual way. So you get out the other way, and you have to walk past the fucking gym. And you say to yourself, while I'm out here, I might as well go in there and do a bench press, because that's how it starts. And you do a couple curls. Then one night you take a shower, you wash your little fucking pussy, and as you're putting powder in your fucking face or in your balls, you see a vein in your arm.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what? The 20 minutes of swimming I'm doing and the 10 minutes I'm doing the gym is making a fucking difference. I got a vein in my arm. I'm going to go online and read about this and get involved in it. And next thing you know, that's how it started with. And now you have no pain. You're doing it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
But like we always say, little commitments become big commitments. Listen, bro, nobody wants you run. You ever see me fucking running around with a bicycle helmet on in the heat? Fuck you. But I'll jump in a pool and walk for 30 minutes or run. And you know what? Who gives a fuck if you're not Mr. Olympia? At least you're doing something.
Yeah.
Nobody says you got to be Jack O'Lane, bro. But it's a lot better than sitting there watching the Celtics get beat for the 80th fucking time. Oh, yeah. Anything's better than that.
And I thought of you, because there's a bunch of kids in this complex, and I went, like, Saturday afternoon at, like, 3:30, and I even looked out my window. I was like, if there's 1,000 kids in there, I'm not going to go. And there was no one.
No one.
If I had a pool in my yard when I was a kid.
No one.
Oh, shit.
Nobody ever thinks of swimming in their own pool.
Yeah.
They always go to somebody's barbecue or whatever. But I guarantee once it's supposed to kick in here, like, 2,000 fucking degrees.
Okay.
So let's see what happens. That's how it starts, Lee. And, you know, whatever people, I know people know that where my heart is when I say to you, jump in that fucking pool. Because that's the easiest way, the quickest solution. Now yeah. You're juicing, you're on day.
It's day six.
How come you're not making videos? How come no fucking.
I'm starting them tonight.
Fucking freaky fuck. Shit. Hi, my name is Lee. I have an 8 and 4/3 fucking day.
Because I started a job last week, asshole.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But I was having not a hard time.
Did you look
at
those? Do you still have them on archive?
Yeah.
Look at the third one from the third day.
Oh, yeah.
You want to fucking shoot yourself. Hi, my name is Lee. You were bummed out. You were from the shooting from the side. I don't know what to do.
No, I was positive, motherfucker.
Holy shit. I was like, this motherfucker's going to, I'm going to find him hanging. With the juicer under him. You know what I'm saying? But everything's all right. You got the carrots. You got the ginger.
Yeah, I have to go. I have to go.
Take a
go shopping today. Yeah, I had
fucking. Did you eat popcorn last night?
No, I didn't. Call right now. But
don't lie to me.
I was up all night. I didn't eat shit.
You ate something.
I can't eat shit. What are you talking about? Hmm. But I was having a tough night last night. I wanted to talk to you about it. Because you talk about Coke, but we haven't really ever talked about it.
Coke.
Well, then about like the weight loss or anything you've been through, we talk about how like you've done it, but like last night I was kind of feeling like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Like you tried to quit coke and you tried to lose weight more times before you finally did it. So like, can you like I was thinking
coke or quit when I started with the diet, with
both
the
serious either diet. Of them, but just like you always go through it and like you start and you stop, you start and you stop, and you don't want to do it like. We you know, you haven't really talked about that before, and I'm sure.
Well, when for a I stop people, coke, I stop coke. When I stop something, I stop something. When I put it in my head, like,
so you never tried to quit over those 30 years?
Coke,
yeah.
I tried to quit maybe early on, like 88, and okay. Then I came before comedy.
Yeah,
and then I came to the conclusion it was part of who I was. The addiction made me lie to myself that who is who I was. And then once I got to LA, I thought about quitting, but people said once you quit, you won't be funny no more. So that scared the shit out of me. It wasn't that I was doing it to go on stage. It was that I'm the type of person that I don't want to disappoint myself. And we always do. We always disappoint ourselves. So I don't really want to, I didn't want to be one of those people that went into 18 rehabs. Yeah. That's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's fucking embarrassing, okay? After two or three, you got to make a fucking decision and be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You stop wasting fucking people's time and giving people false fucking hope. Why are you doing that? You know you're going to keep snorting. Why are you lying to people? And you know as they're talking to you, you know, that's why I tell people, how do you know? It's like when you see a UFC fighter, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go in there, I'm in the best fight condition. And he goes in there, you don't throw a fucking punch. You're just talking. You're just lying to your fucking self. You're unsure of yourself, and that's who half these people are. I didn't want to.
Well, that's because I was thinking about it, because you just said, like, you kind of have to do it for yourself, because honestly, and it's just now, like, I was never doing it for myself before, because, like, I grew up, and I've always been happy, or happy-ish, but, like, I never really had that much self-confidence, and it's kind of, I was at a party a few nights ago, and someone said to me, like, you seem very confident, and no one's ever said that to me ever in my life, and, like, I finally feel like things are kind of trying to change, and, like, even when I first tried to lose weight, I was doing it because, like, oh, girls like skinnier guys, but that's not even really for me. So, like, it's kind of weird that you kind of have to do it for your, like, you have to actually do it because you want to do it. And it was tough last night, and I had to rewatch the movie last night that I got the juicing from to, like, get motivated. But it's weird. It's,
Listen, like, man, everybody does shit. When you go in a positive direction, we all have to do shit that we don't want to do. You know why? It takes us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Our comfort zone is the most important thing to us. You know, since for 20 years, I've loved to be pushed out of my comfort zone because it inspires you.
Yeah.
When I push you out of your comfort zone, it's going to make, you know, my kid right now, my little daughter.
Yeah.
I sit her up, you know, and she falls and my wife picks her back up. And when she falls, I give her a couple minutes to try to figure out what the fuck just happened. And the other day I was watching how she pulled a leg over, she pulled the other leg over, and she spun. And she was pissed and she cried. But she did it.
Yeah.
So by me pushing her, she's fucking rolling more now off the boom position. You follow me?
Yeah.
She falls to the right-hand side. She falls to the left. She knows now to kick her leg over. We excel when we are taking out of our fucking comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't, I have to personally take myself out of my comfort zone. You know how I start the day by going out of my comfort zone?
What?
I eat an edible.
That's quite a way,
you know,
to start
why?
The day.
No, you're not going to believe this.
Why?
I'm the type of guy that I always want to be in control. That's why I don't drink. I don't drink because I'm anti-AA or anti-whatever. In 1983, I saw my friend get his ear bit off by Danny B. They won that call, say Danny B wins.
Yeah.
And ever since that night, I couldn't help him. And I felt so bad for being drunk that it fucked with me. And that's how it fucked with me.
Okay.
I always want to have one leg going up. When I'm giggling at that joke, when we were giggling that day at the fucking, when you cracked me the fuck up at the coffee shop that day.
Oh,
I was really laughing. I lost fucking control. I didn't like it. Remember, I got up and left.
Yeah.
I don't like not losing. So when I eat an edible, it's to make me lose control, to push me out of that thing, because I know great things are going to happen. Hey, listen, man, for me, it's an edible. For somebody else, it might be something else.
Yeah.
But you have to push yourself out of the comfort zone on a daily basis for you to get anywhere in this fucking life. You think I like huffing and puffing, thinking I'm going to fucking die with two pair of underwear on in a fucking gym?
Yeah.
Fuck no. But I know that if there's an earthquake, how can I save my family? Not by walking. You got to grab those two bitches and start fucking running. So, you know, it's on the couch, nothing good happens. And I know we're all lazy. We all have a great time. I love putting my feet up and watching a fucking old movie, too. But in the middle of that movie, I know I got to be doing something. Even if I get up for 10 minutes and do it, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
When I fucking work out in the daytime, my day is done. I know that I made myself do something that I'm not getting paid for. Nothing. But I know that the payment is me living an extra day. Or if I go to a hospital, my blood pressure not being high that day. That's the payment. So please, every day, take yourself out of your comfort zone a little fucking way. Every fucking day, when I go on the road, I can't sleep. But by not sleeping, it makes me write a fucking joke. So I wrote 3 new fucking jokes this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So go out of your fucking car. By the way, I had a great time in Austin, Texas this weekend. I came home a little sick.
Oh.
Yeah, a little cold. But let me tell you know what makes Austin? The people.
Oh, really? Oh, you told me it was packed and no one was saying hi.
But the people of Austin have always made a difference because they're free spirits. You don't move to Austin because you just moved to fucking Austin. And around it, the place is a little uptight. They'll arrest you for weed. They'll throw you in fucking jail and put you under the fucking jail and throw away the key. But Austin has a certain perception of people. The people that live there are very laid back. They're very anti-organization, not anti-Texas, but anti-rules. And they want to make their own little fucking thing. It's like Boulder. It's like Asheville, North Carolina. It's like so many little artists slash communities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the people, and listen, the people show up with 22 fucking pounds of weed. We smoked 82 fucking joints every night outside the fucking showroom, you know? People showed up with edibles. They had Chiba bars.
Oh, shit.
They had chocolate bars. Some guy gave me a chocolate bar Friday night. I had the best set of my fucking life Friday night. I was so fucking high. It was amazing. I will try to go to Austin from now on 2 or 3 times a year because I forgot how happy my life was when I was going through Texas.
Yeah. And all you ate was the fucking salads?
I had barbecue one night.
Oh, you did have it? Okay. Because I see you posted the pictures of those salads.
The bartenders brought... I went to Papa Do's. Yeah. Papa Do's is a restaurant that I cannot even describe to you. I've been eating Papa Do's since Houston in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I already ate all the fried shit. I already had the oysters. I've already had everything they've had to offer on the killer fat man menu.
Okay.
They have a fucking sensational, if you really want to just eat fish. I had the halibut with dirty rice one day. I can't even describe it to you with the lemon on top of the fuck. And I got this big tomato salad with a couple blue cheese crumbles. But for the only other, every other time I went in there, I went in there all 3 days.
And did you really?
Oh, fuck yeah. And I had the same thing. I had the seafood gumbo with the sausage, a fucking cup. I didn't heat the bread to watch my weight.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have the bread and butter because the bread and butter is fucking delicious. And they got a banana pudding that the cum will come out of your asshole in drips with little chunks of banana in there. And I didn't have that because I've eaten there for 20 fucking years is what I'm telling you. So I know that you could be huge. Listen, I could go to Papa Do's and have an appetizer, bread. They have the lobster soup.
Okay.
They have that cream lobster.
The bisque,
with,
yeah.
The lobster bisque. So I would open up with the lobster bisque. Then I would get something fried with French fries. You know, the fried filet basket with French fries and a mixed grill. And then I would get the cheesecake and then close up with a double espresso with real fucking cane sugar.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. I could eat fucking 200 points in a Papa Do's. But you got to figure out how to go to Papa Do's and how to make it work for you. So I have a little cup of the andouille fucking sausage with the gumbo shrimp, which is delicious. That sounds good. My asshole's on fire right now. And then I would have the seafood chop salad, which is little these tremendous prawns with some crab meat, with some lettuce, with some cucumbers, with some tomato, a couple avocados.
Yeah, I saw that look good.
Some fucking Texas bacon, smoked applewood fucking bacon. Are you kidding me or what? And I got a half order on the bacon. Like I said, cut it in half so you don't get the full bacon. Cut the avocado in half. And a little blue cheese dressing in that motherfucker. And I mix it up. Voom, voom. Pull it all. I want to be around Tony Bennett. It's Monday, fucking May the 6th. Get your shit together, motherfuckers. Get out of your comfort zone today and go rock your own motherfucking world. Huh? Look at these fucking bazooka joints I got today. We got to smoke one of these. There's like 8 of them here. You don't smoke them? You didn't smoke no weed at Iron Man last night?
No, I don't smoke your weed.
That's your weed. That's our weed.
I don't want to.
Fucking moment.
There's 101,000 hits on this Tony Bennett video. 50,000 of them have to be us.
Listen to this. Somebody. Listen to that. Are you fucking kidding me?
You're going
to
come in on a Wednesday and say, "Where the fuck all the weed's gone?"
Shut the fuck up. Let me put this hot beel in your asshole.
We were talking about the party and we got drunk, so we were talking about that. And people were like, "Oh, I don't like when people lick my ass." And you're never there when people are on my side for the licking the ass thing. So I gotta start recording it because more people are on my side than on your side.
I know what time you went to party with a bunch of fucking fruitcakes anyway. Who was at the party? Ashley and her brother and all those people?
Yeah, okay.
Some fucking guy that goes to Red Lobster and waits 45 minutes for his gay friend to fucking show up. That's the people you ask if they want their tongue eaten. Please, I know the source. Fucking Momo.
Are the women hot in Austin?
Bro, Texas is where pussy was invented.
Really? I've never been.
That's why. You were an Iron Man, jumping up and down with two girls.
Did you invite me to Austin?
No, you could have said, "Joey, I'm coming to Austin with you."
Yeah, right.
That's all you had to say. Your family.
You're fine. I'm coming to Phoenix or whatever.
No, you ain't coming to Phoenix. You ain't coming nowhere. I can't say.
That's what I'm saying.
Stay home. Mind your business. Ah, 6:24, your mother's a whore. Get up. Wash your pussy. Something good might happen today, ladies. Something good. Wash that fucking good. They're tough out there now. Not that you're going to give it up or something, but you never know. You might bump into a fucking nice cock and he's ready for you. Guys, it's fucking Monday. Things happen on Monday.
They do.
It's nice. Texas is very nice. I like Colorado. I like Boulder. But I really, there's something about... You know why I really like Texas?
Why?
Because they understand me. I never really bombed in Texas. Even in El Paso, I never really bombed. They've taken the ride with me.
It seems
and like... I love that. Because nobody would fucking believe when you've seen these... When you see these fucking people that come to these shows, you won't believe they laugh at me. That's why. That's why I love it so much.
The only other... I think it was Amarillo. What's at like the very top? It only takes like a couple hours to get through at the very top. I think it's Amarillo when I drove through. And I didn't know it because I haven't really been it, but I love the South. Everyone's just kind of cool. And it seems like they're kind of like you. Like, they're just like...
Crazy. They're fucking crazy. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
Old fashioned.
Dog, let me tell you what happened, all right? I told you guys on the show that I like Duck Dynasty. That's my shit. And then I went home. My niece turned me on to it. I love my little niece. So whatever she tells me, I fucking do. Even my wife goes, that girl has you in the palm of your hand. She fucking kills me. So she, about, I don't know, a year ago, she's like, you watch Duck Dynasty, Uncle Joey? So she's watching, and I told her. She goes, who's your favorite guy? And I go, Psy. You know, she goes, that's my favorite guy, too, because he reminds me of you. He's fucking crazy.
I've never seen this show.
Oh, he's fucking crazy. So,
you give me shit about Iron Man and you're watching reality TV?
Oh. Duck Dynasty is real. Iron Man, some fucking guy that was doing coke 10 years ago in a room in Palm Springs with a chick dressed like Captain America. Give me a fucking break, all right? So, I guess one of the associate producers listens to the show.
Oh, cool.
And he heard it, and he fucking sent us an email saying he likes the show, and thank you for the mention. No, I've always lied. Bro, I'm a closet, you know how there's closet fags? I'm a closet redneck. I would love to be a redneck, because I would talk some big-ass shit. And it would just seem... that's it. I'm a redneck. If you really think about it, they have no filter. They don't give a fuck what you think. They really don't. And that's me. I'm country.
Yeah.
That's what my niece always says. You're country, Uncle Joe. You're country.
Get a little bit of an accent there at the end.
Oh, fuck you. I'm country, dog. I love it. I'm telling you, I got to get out of here. I got to get to the South eventually and go down there and just end it down there. That's where I need to be.
That's where you want
to
be?
Yeah, yeah. That was my... That's the end.
You're going to do Texas or you're going to go back to Tennessee?
Everything. I think I'm going to build a tunnel like Mexicans. Go from Tennessee to Texas up through Mississippi. I just like it. I just like it. I had a great time in New Orleans. I just like it, man. I understand. And they understand me. And if we got a gun, you know, I feel... When I'm with somebody and they have a gun, like in the East Coast, I get nervous. When I'm with a redneck and they got a gun, I don't get nervous because I know he knows what he's doing with it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to shoot a fucking deer. Something's getting shot. Somebody... What's up?
That makes me nervous.
What? Let me do some shout-outs real quick before we get this party started. I got some good Scottish Paulie got an office in fucking Orange County. You know I love you. Who's this? Oh, Andy fucking G.
It's San Antonio
Death Squad. What the fuck are you laughing at? My crazy man, James Malia. G, you know who I is. Gio. Justin fucking Drum. Dirty Sanchez, I love you. Charles Garland. And Kate. Oh! Kristen, my fucking girl from Maine. I met this cute girl from Maine, her sister. She's a fucking a massage therapist, Caitlin. I want to give you a shout out. She fucking hit me up this morning. I said I would talk about it. She's a massage fucking therapist. Calabrese or some shit. I like her. She had a cute sister, and they had a nice cute other massage therapist with her. She was 6'2". I thought of you. She would fucking break your back, Lee.
I'm sure. I don't know if you were high when you wrote that or if you're high now, but you get surprised by what you're reading. That's what I was laughing at. You're like, oh, shit.
Lee, I'm about to fucking shoot you. I tell you what else I did when I was in Austin. I went to Onnit, the new studios.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know, I met Aubrey years ago, and I always thought he was a fucking party guy and whatever, but he was the type of guy that he confused me because he was a party guy, but he had his shit together. He'd always talk to me about chemicals and vitamins. And you know, him and Joe put together fucking, you know, Alpha Brain and all this stuff. And I took the Alpha Brain and now the Shroom Tech and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, listen to people. I know one thing. When I used to smoke cigarettes and I used to smoke pot full time, I get a cold 12 times a year, especially when you travel. Your resistance is low. When you fly, you know, you get sick. You know how I'm getting sick now? I'm getting sick twice a year, no fever. Maybe get a little sniffle for a couple of days. And that's because I'm taking care of myself. You know, I'm drinking a lot more water. Mm-hmm. A lot more water. Like, I've cut, even my wife said, she goes, I haven't been buying that much soda. You're not drinking that much
soda. You don't have it anymore when I go over.
No, that's it. I've been drinking a lot of water because Dolce, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is drink water, even if it hurts my stomach, to clean out my track and put the bad breath fucking powder in my stomach so I can shit it out. My shit smells like shit and bad breath now, so it's fucked up. But, what were they talking about?
But on it.
But on it. And, you know, so I'm taking the Shroom Tech, and I'm taking the Immune, and I'm getting better at, you know, acupuncture, it all helps out. But the fucking Ana has really helped me, especially the Strong Bone, the hemp protein, how I have the protein in the morning, and it rides with me the rest, you know, it rides with me for a few fucking hours.
Yeah, didn't they give you, like, bars or something?
Yeah, so I'm going to show them now. It's so funny how when I went to college, I took a nutrition and health class, mm-hmm. and I used to pick his brain all the time. I had Michael Pritchard in there. I had a bunch of football players in that class. And I would pick the guy's brain, and he would talk to me about oatmeal, how important oatmeal is in the morning, because it goes a long way. Oatmeal, I've abused it. It's like eating melatonin. Melatonin's good to help you fall asleep, but after 2 weeks, you're back to square one.
Yeah.
Because your body builds a resistance to it, and then you got to take a month off and then go back to it. And that's why I say, just take 2 hits off the fucking joint. That shit don't wear off. So we went down on it. And we spoke, and you know what? Like I said, today I live by the Strong Bone, I live by the hemp protein. The other night I went on the website to see what new stuff they had, and they got fucking chocolate bars, right? And I ate these yesterday before I flew. Usually I need a breakfast. These are Hemp Force hemp protein bars. Fucking 7 grams of fiber, 10 grams of protein, vanilla chai. Amazing. Fucking amazing.
Oh, shit.
So yesterday I ate one before the plane. Because my plane was at 6:20.
Yeah.
You used to have to eat at the airport. Fuck no.
That garbage.
I ate one of these. These held me in. I ate on the plane. I had like granola and yogurt on the fucking plane. So it was good. I saved myself some fucking time with a nice. And you know what? You go around and you buy these protein bars. I don't know what you're spending for these. At least you know these got the good stuff in them. They don't have like fucking sugar and all this. I know that Arby put love into these fucking things. Go on the Onnit website. Go to the hemp protein, either get the hemp protein, the chocolate, or go to the bars. I'll leave you a couple, Lee, and you can try one. You can put them in the fucking juicer, and I'll tell you what else they got.
No, I'll try them.
I'll tell you what else I really like. I like the Alpha Brain. Sometimes it gets intense with the fucking Alpha Brain, and you got to do what you got to do. So they made Alpha Brain now, and these little things that you put in water.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it helped me with yesterday. They call the turnaround. This is for, like, let's say you got a cold and it's coming on. Because not only does it have the Alpha Brain in it, but it's got all the other shit, that, like some of the Shroom Tech, some of the good things of Strong Bones. So let's say you're flying and you want to take out a jet lag. Boom. Jet lag. Let's say you got one out and got fucked up last night and you need it for a hangover. Boom. This is, or do it. And let's say you're just having a fucked up day, because it got the best components of New Mood in here, too. Give this a fucking shot. Alpha Brain, little packages. You put them in with fucking the amount of water you want. You shake it up. Doesn't have the amount of Alpha Brain as the tablets, but it'll get your fucking party started. How do I know? Because I did one fucking yesterday before I got on the fucking plane. I'm telling you, I try this shit. I don't give a fuck. Plus, ooh, I ate that edible. That edible fucked me up. Yeah, you look fucked up. Bro, I'm telling you, they gave me some, but somebody gave me a cookie. In fucking Austin, a homemade cookie. He said he put hash in there, a little Valium, some fucking THC, some Gorilla Biscuits, his girlfriend's pubic hairs. This thing set me off, and fucking, I was high for 18 goddamn hours.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. And then I got home last night, I ate a Bang Bar.
Why?
Because I wanted to see the devil last night. I had to write some jokes, I had to keep up. I wrote some shit on stage, and I had to, Matt Bauer, I don't need no fucking bulletproof vest, bitch. Not when I got fucking Lisa out. I just make him walk in front of me.
Good thing I'm short. I'll just
Shit. Oh, I gotta go to a chiropractor. Something. My back is fucked up in the top. I've always had like a problem with shoulders. When I fell when I was a kid, it crunched up my shoulder. So I have like a ball under here at times. So I gotta get like a fat little Chinese woman to walk on my back. You know what I'm saying? That's short, because I can't have a fall up. I need for her to be fucking close. I need for her to be, you know, the gravitation pulls it down.
Will your acupuncture help with that tomorrow?
I don't know. I might not have to go to acupuncture tomorrow. I may take the day off and take a private lesson and fucking do some jujitsu or some shit.
Oh, shit.
Fly through the air. You know, I'm trying to put it together, though. I gotta lose this gut before the baby starts fucking. She's already half crawling.
Is she really? You're always gone on the weekend, so I haven't seen her for a few months.
Oh, she's big. She's big, bro. They fucking grow fast. And every time you come back, they got a new trick to them.
Oh, really?
She gets big. Every time I leave and I come back 3 days later, it's really something to see. But, you know, This is going to be for years. So why fuck? Every time you do this. Time you fucking do this. So what else? You good, Lee? We're going to have... You went to see Iron Man. What'd you think?
Everyone hated on it. I thought it was a good action movie.
Here's what's going on, Lee, so you know. When we started the podcast, I would put up a movie or two and we'd talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'd do a good job with it. But here's the problem. I'm an old fuck, Lee. So all I got to offer these kids are old fucking movies, and I'm embarrassed. I get embarrassed sometimes because they say, Joey, what the fuck? You're my uncle, and you're not giving me something new. I don't have time to go see new shit. But it's very weird that now that I have access to a computer and shit like that, sometimes a movie's coming out, and I just read the review.
Yeah.
I go to a good reviewer. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention his name. Then I go to Rotten Tomatoes because they shit on everybody.
Yeah.
So if they like something... It's got to be something. There's something to the film. I have some friends that work at Rotten Tomatoes now.
Okay.
So I understand them a little more. So, like this week, the Iceman movie came out. I read the book. Listen, I was back there when he was doing his shit. I seen the interviews. Then I read the book by Richard Carlo. I think that's his name, Rob Carlo, Richard Carlo. Something Carlo. Philip Carlo. He's a pretty good author. He also wrote, he writes about like killers and...
Okay, we got a call coming in.
All right. There's my little brother.
That's my big papa right there. How you doing, bro?
You know me. It's fucking Rick Ramos on the phone. I was just telling these guys, Rick, that I'm very good with movies, but the problem is I don't go to see a lot of new movies. And since I'm fucking 50, I don't want these new guys to look at me and say, Joey, what the fuck? You sound like my father. You said there's no new movies. I'm sure that they're making good new movies. They're just not making them in the strength that they made them when I was fucking 10 or 11 with, you know, The Longest Yards and the Tommies and shit like that.
No, the stuff that when we were younger, when we were kids, it comes back to us. It sticks with us, man. There are films from that time period that they mean a lot to us because those were, you know, those were the formative years. That's when we learned how to be men. We were watching shit that was just unbelievable. That's, you know... Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin, stuff like that. And I was catching up on this stuff because I was lucky enough to have an old man that would show me movies. My old man didn't do a whole hell of a lot for me as far as like interaction, but he told me good movies to watch. And I think you pick up on that kind of stuff. These are the ones that we grew up on, man. They formed us. They told us who we were going to eventually be. That's what I love about movies.
The
man.
Fucking Enforcer was on last week. I was digging life.
What was that?
The Enforcer was on. Clint Eastwood was great in that fucking movie. He abuses the girl from Cagney and Lacey.
I remember. God.
Remember they're in the meeting? That's one of the funniest lines he ever said in his life. They're interviewing candidates, him, the one guy, and the other guy, and she comes in, and they're like, so Callahan, you have any questions for the candidate? He goes... How fast can you run the 40? Fucking Callahan was a bad motherfucker.
You know what was great about those movies? You go back and you watch those old Eastwood movies. Eastwood had no problem hitting anybody. Man, woman, he didn't give a shit. He didn't care.
He even punched the ape. He even beat the fucking ape up.
Oh, yeah. He didn't care. It was the best. I want to say what's up to the Flying Jew. Is he sitting right there?
He's right here.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? I've heard a lot about you. And speaking about old movies, I saw a new one, but it's by an old guy. Robert Redford came out with a movie this year, The Company You Keep.
Yeah, something called The Company You Keep.
It was fucking good. I went inside at the Arclight. It's fucking good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I did see on fucking Saturday.
What'd you see?
Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford were sitting on some channel, CNN, one of those, talking about all the president's men.
Oh, shit.
And how it went down. Fucking amazing. And Robert Redford's still a gorgeous motherfucker. You know, that's one of the dudes that got me into acting. When I saw this thing, I'm like, God damn. God damn. The fucking Sting is good.
You know, that's the craziest thing, is that when... Movies are what put us on this path, you know? You're talking about Robert Redford. I had the same thing when I was young and I saw certain actors. I remember I was telling my buddy Mike Black about this. I was telling Black, you remember that scene in The Untouchables where Sean Connery gets shot up and then he's crawling through the house?
Yes.
I used to do that as a kid. I would pretend I was Sean Connery. I would get shot at my front door, and then I would crawl through the living room into the kitchen, gurgling up blood, because I imagined that's how crazy I was as a kid. I wanted to be that guy, you know? I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be Sean Connery. I wanted to be, you know...
My first idol was Seth. Hey, listen, bro. Your first idol should be 007. If not, you might be fucking gay. You might be taking it on all fours if your first idol. First time you seen Sean Connery, you were like, that's the motherfucker I want to see. I still remember watching The Saint when I was a kid, thinking to myself, that guy would make a good James Bond. I swear to God, no reason to lie to you. When I was a kid, it used to come on Channel 5. Not WPRX, not WDOR, not WOR, but the other one in Jersey or New York. It used to come on. I used to think to myself, that's the next fucking James. He would make a good James Bond. But you're right. Yeah. You know what I saw last night, Rick, for 5 fucking minutes? And I got to tell you something, Rick. At this point in my life, I really like to see people doing the best thing that they could do. If you're a plumber and you come to my house with like 2013 technology, I'll probably sit there and watch you do it because you're an artist in your own sense. You know? I was scrolling across Mystic River last night, the beginning. Which, listen, Sean Penn, there's as many faces as Sean Penn. One thing about Sean Penn is that white boy could act. And when that boy, and then that movie, Sean Penn, I mean, everybody. Lawrence Fishburne was brilliant.
Yeah.
The other guy was brilliant, who I love. The guy from, wasn't he in Sleepers also?
Tim Robert? No, Kevin.
Kevin Bacon. No, he wasn't in Sleepers.
Kevin Bacon
was fucking awesome in that. The two Gorilla Brothers. That was hung out with Sean Penn. They were awesome. The guy, everybody's fucking a killer in that movie. The wife's friend, the milkman, the little kid. Everybody's a fucking actor killer. But Sean Penn, when they finally find the daughter and they're all at the park and he tells the Gorilla Brothers to get the bolt cutters. And they go in and they're fighting the 20 fucking Boston cops.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that they're holding the one Gorilla Brother down. He's like, get the fuck off me. I've been in those situations where you got 10 cops on you and they're holding you down. You're like, get the fuck off. But when Sean Penn is yelling for his daughter, is that my little girl? Listen, dog. I mean, even if you lost a parakeet, if you don't feel his pain in that scene, then you got to go to a psychiatrist or shoot yourself. Either or, because he's brilliant, Matt, whatever, Sean
Penn. That's the great thing about movies is that, when it touches you like that, when it grabs a hold of you and it doesn't want to let you go, I mean, that camera, the boom, it's right on top of him, and then it just lifts up. It's like going into the heavens, and they're holding on to Sean Penn, and Sean Penn was like, you know what? 5 cops ain't going to be enough. He told Clint Eastwood, you get 15 cops, they're going to hold me down because I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. That's a great scene. I remember seeing that my goddamn mind. Oh, you know what killed me though? It was like an audible gasp. I freaked out when they go into the liquor store, and who's the old Jew behind the counter? Eli Wallach.
Eli Wallach out
of retirement.
Yeah, come on now.
They brought Tuco back, baby.
This is what I'm talking to you, fucking young kids. You gotta live, Eli fucking Wallach. I can't even understand them. You know what he's really good in? You know what he's really good in, dog?
What's
up? One of the worst movies that ever came out is the Last Godfather. But he was brilliant in it.
He was. He's sitting there like he was in his. God, he must have been in his late 60s then, 70s maybe.
You gotta watch. What is it? Godfather 3? Godfather 4? What is it?
Godfather 3, that was 89 or something like that.
Christmas Day, 89. Christmas Day it came out, that's right. 98, I'm smoking dope, Rick.
You see somebody like that who commands the screen and you're watching it, you're thinking, that's the greatest Jew to ever play a Mexican ever.
Ever.
Eli Wallach, forever.
He's still alive, he's 97.
God fucking bless him.
I hope it keeps on going.
God bless him. One thing about me and Rick, we're both fucking his fan, and we're both fucking not Lee Marvin, who played Ernie, the Ernest Borgnine. Me and Rick understood the beauty, and I loved him. And to this day, I really don't watch Poseidon Adventure because I don't want to cry no more. I don't know where's more tears, in the fucking tank where the boat sank. Whenever I watch fucking him in that movie, there's a couple movies he's done. And again, the youth of America don't know Ernest Borgnine.
They don't know. They look at this fat, ugly guy, and they say they write him off because why would he do a movie that I would be interested in? And that's bullshit because there's a story there. I was watching The Wild Bunch yesterday.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Damn.
You're sitting there like, please. You know what? I'm so screwed up. I'm so messed up in my friendships, in my relationships, because I expect my friends to go into the fire with me like William Holden and Ernest Borgnine. You know what I mean? I expect a friend to be there like that guy. Like Ernest Borgnine knows, we're going to get killed. Let's do it anyway. It doesn't mean shit to me. Let's go. And you want something like that. You watch Ernest Borgnine, and you're looking at a guy. It's almost like, what the hell else was he going to do, you know? He was either going to act, or he was going to be on a line somewhere, you know, building cars or something. He was real. And Hollywood wasn't afraid of putting somebody that looked like your dad or your uncle or your grandfather on screen. They embraced it. They were like, this is a real guy. How many times have you been watching a movie? You watch one of those old movies and you're like, all right, this is going to be okay. And then you see one actor that you love and you're like, oh, shit, it's over at this point. Now, I'm just waiting for this guy to come on screen. Strother Martin, Ernest Borgnine, guys like that where you're just like, shit. Slim Pickens, where you're just like, this
guy. No. How about the trainer in that you love and I love too? And we oh, my God, Rick. The guy in Hard Times, the cut man.
Strother Martin.
Oh, my God. He's fucking good. Oh, my God.
And he delivers that. That southern gentleman. These men ain't refined streets. You're just like, oh, my God.
You know, it's funny.
Every line is a mess.
When I got here, I went to Ivana Chubbuck's acting school. And, you know, Ivana Chubbuck is like the high-end acting school. It had the black girl from Monster, who's bald, and fucks the white dude. It had Charlize Theron. She had like three Oscar winners in a row. She does really well with women because she breaks her down. But she had a coach there named Chris Holder, who was very good. And one of the first scenes he gave me was Ernie, the Butcher. Right? Is that it? What's the name of the movie? Ernest Borgnine.
Marty.
I'm so sorry. Kept saying Ernie.
Marty, yeah.
And he gave me the scenes from Marty. And it was funny because I had seen it again when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. After I saw Poseidon Adventure, I tried to watch everything he was in, you know?
Yeah.
And I watched Marty, and I think he showed it to me, not for me to do the scene as much as to give me confidence, because he was a fat, ugly dude. You know, let's face it. So I remember watching it going, if that motherfucker could do it, I could do it. It really doesn't matter what you look like. You could still go fucking after it. And you know, so in a lot of ways, I say Ernest Borgnine because he opened up doors for me in my mind. He opened up doors for me in my mind that let me know I could do whatever the fuck I want to do because he ain't no fucking, I tell you what, to be honest with you, Rick, I gotta interrupt you here. I got to interrupt myself. Yeah. I watched some good movies this weekend. You know what I watched in my hotel room the other day? No Country for Old Men.
That's a good movie.
Oh.
And the other day, and then Friday, I watched the boxing movie with Clint Eastwood with the chick, you know, and he has to kill her at the end.
Oh, Baby.
Yeah, I watched some great movies lately, just, you know, off the cuff. What am I saying? Rick, I'm upset with myself because I don't have a chance to go to new movies. And now, me and my wife were trying to catch a movie every other month. We'd force ourselves because they opened up a new Lemley by my house. But the movies were so bad. Everything started off good, then it went somewhere else. I think the last good movie I saw was The Playbook. The Playbook with De Niro. That's it. You know, I really, and I'm really interested in one thing. I knew Iron Man was out this weekend, but I also know that the fucking Iceman was out this weekend. And you and I have discussed the Iceman for 10 years. We both read the book by Philip Carlo. We're both fans. And I disagree with the casting. So I was pissed about the casting.
What didn't you like?
You never know. The lead. Maybe he delivers. I didn't like the lead. But
then I read the fucking reviews. And nobody really bashed it. Is there a review up real quick? Nobody really fucking shit on it. Like, they gave it a life. But no one I spoke to went to watch it either. Like, I talked to Felipe. He was in Utah. I talked to a couple people over the weekend. I go, did you watch it? No, nobody watched it. So, you know, again, when the fuck do I have time to go to a movie theater? I was going to ask Lee if he wanted to go last night, but I didn't know where it was playing.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 67, and that's pretty good for Rotten Tomatoes.
And that's really good for Rotten Tomatoes, because Rotten Tomatoes hates everything. So,
Let's see who's in it. I don't know who's in it.
James Franco is playing my friend's father, the Prongays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray Liotta's in it.
Winona Ryder as the unknowing wife, and Ray Liotta as the crime boss. The new guy that's playing him, I can't remember his name, but I haven't seen him in a lot of stuff.
Michael Shannon.
He's in the fucking whatever, the movie, the thing on HBO.
Michael Shannon?
He's on that show, Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, he's on Boardwalk. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
But,
this is the thing. When you say that you don't get a chance to go see movies, it's because there are so many bad movies out there. And it's like, you got to be kind of a glutton for punishment, because everything I see, maybe I'm a little bit interested here or a little bit interested there for the most part. At this point, all I can hope for, usually, is a good couple of scenes or a good performance. I went and saw Pain and Gain a couple of weeks ago. Horrible movie, but The Rock is good. The Rock delivers in this fucking thing.
I heard it's funny. I heard the movie is funny.
The movie has moments, but it still feels like a Michael Bay. He doesn't know how to pull back. Michael Bay doesn't know how to make a smaller film. It's all Transformers for him, you know? But that movie was The Rock. For me, it was The Rock, you know? And that's the thing. I don't think you have the patience for that kind of thing, because it's like, you know what, there's too few hours in the day. You got your wife, you got your kids, you got shows to do, you got everything. And it's like, when you go to a movie, it's like you're investing 2 hours of your life that you're never going to get back. 2 hours, 20 minutes of previews, you got to drive there, you got to drive back. That's a 3.5 hour stint.
Yeah, but I got the Lemley. They got the popcorn with the powder on it, the blue fucking cheese. You got the fucking iced tea. You got the, it's nice. I tell you what my problem is, Rick, when I sit there in the daytime, 40 minutes in, I got a kick to the head going, you could be writing a joke right now.
Exactly.
And then the phone rings and it's your agent. You could have nothing going on, and one matinee, I look at you and go, Rick, let's go fucking to see a matinee. And the minute I sit down, my agent calls and he goes, I just sent you slides for 9 pages of fucking De Niro movie. So now I'm trying to focus on this movie knowing there's slides on my computer for a fucking De Niro movie. You know what I'm saying? So it's always very hard to sit. I like to go on Sundays. Again, on Sundays, you got to find the perfect time. I like to go to 11, 11:30 and get the fuck out of there. So I'm thinking of renting a movie that got bashed by the critics. But I ran into a couple fucking dudes that are solid, and they were like, dog, it wasn't a bad movie. Now, for me, for you to bash Brad Pitt, it kills me. Because in my eyes, Brad Pitt don't do nothing wrong. From Snatch to fucking the one with the fucking, with Hannibal Lecter, to the one with the outside, with the brothers.
The Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall. I mean, Brad Pitt's a bad motherfucker. Would I suck his dick with a couple cocktails in me at this point? Who gives a fuck? I may lick his nuts or whatever. That's a badass dude. You might get to eat some good pussy just from DNA with that motherfucker. But I heard Killing Me Softly wasn't that good. You told me something different. Break it down, Rick.
I liked it. See, this is the thing. People don't like it because they're used to a faster, quicker, let's get to the point kind of a movie. They want to see some shit going down, and they want to see it now. This movie doesn't do that. This movie is slow and deliberate, and I was watching it. I was doing some reading on it. It's based on a book called Kogan's Bluff, which was written by a guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy also wrote a movie called The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Tremendous!
You know this movie, I know this movie. Bam! He did it, man. And it's slow. And remember how slow and deliberate that is?
Yes.
You're just sitting there and you're like, sometimes you got to be willing to just sit there and absorb a movie. Just let it become you. And Killing Them Softly is that kind of movie. If you're going in thinking it's going to be a lot of shoot 'em up and killing and Tarantino bullshit, it's not. It's nothing like that. It's a slow, it's the kind of movie that you sit back, you have a beer, you smoke a joint, you watch the thing, and you let it take over your life for that 2 hours. And it's got great performances by everybody. The two junkie idiots who robbed the card game, those guys are great. Gandolfini comes in for a couple of scenes, and he's just this degenerate, beat-up, broken-down, old, hired killer. And you see what happens to you in that life. The speech that he gives, and it's not self-conscious. He's delivering like he is that guy, like he's at the end of his line, and like he's got nowhere else to go. Everything, I think this movie, Last year, I saw four movies that really knocked me on my ass. One was Flight with Denzel. The other one was, Silver Linings Playbook, I liked a lot, mostly because De Niro was actually busting his ass again. It made me feel good. Liam Neeson in The Great and this movie. Four movies. I must have saw 150, 200. Because, you know, I go to the movies. I go to at least a movie a week.
You're the real deal. I tell people all the time, Rick, I listen to other podcasts. I listen to those other people that they're hiring for CNN. They cannot touch you, Rick. I've been around for 50 years. I don't. I hope you people understand. I don't get nothing for promoting Rick. I'm just telling you that through experience, when you sit down with Rick and he breaks a movie down for you, you have to, right from there, you run right to the Blockbuster if there's still one open, or you go to Netflix, and you better have some cheese and crackers, because you're sitting there thinking about what Rick told you. It's amazing. Rick, you're really fucking dynamite, and I can't wait till you get a podcast going or you get your fucking webpage, because I'm going to be your number one supporter. You're amazing.
I'm starting up my own thing in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm putting it together right now. It's just going to be me talking about movies. I just want to talk about something that... You know what? It's not even... Like, I was telling somebody this. It's not even how... It's not the Jews. It's not what the movie actually is about. It's what the movie means to you. And that's why you talk about it with such passion, you know? That's why, you know, when everything clicks and you're watching something and it takes you to another world, another place, people's lives, and you're absorbed in it, man, God, that's a beautiful thing.
Now, hold on one second. What did Iron Man do for you, you fuck?
It was.
Did you feel like Iron Man? Did you feel like flying around, cocksucker?
Jesus.
Huh?
I wanted to ask. I never saw Flight, but I wanted to.
Yeah, break it down, Rick. Flight.
Because I love Denzel, but yeah.
From you go into this movie and you expect it's going to be one thing, this hero story about landing a plane, and maybe he's got some problems, and then it becomes something completely different. He's not a likable guy. It's a testament to how good Denzel Washington is. Because he's charismatic, he's this guy that you want to root for, even though he's a scumbag. He's a scumbag throughout this whole movie. He's a drunk, he's a cokehead, he's using all the time. He doesn't give a shit about his wife and his kid, and it's all about taking responsibility for what he has done. About getting coked up and drunk for like a 3-day bender and flying these planes. And granted, what he does in the movie, he lands this plane and saves 97 lives. 6 people die, but now he's accountable for that. And it's just the ego that this guy has, and the way he's running from his demons. Because I don't care who you are, if you've ever had something in your life that you know, like an addiction of some kind, where the drinking was out of control or the coke was out of control, you can identify with this guy. And it's the way he's doing a line just to get straight after being drunk for a weekend. My God, and it doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't try to make this guy likable. He doesn't try to make him a nice guy. The guy has charisma, but he's still a scumbag. If you don't see that movie, God damn, it was great to see Robert Zemeckis making a live-action movie again. He hasn't done it in 10 years, and I used to love the guy. The guy used to be great.
I watched yesterday when I got home and lit the TV on after walking around the baby. Guess what was on, Rick? The last 40 minutes of Man on Fire.
Oh.
Did you happen to watch on AMC? It's been on the last 3 Saturdays or Sundays in a row. AMC finally said, you know what? Joe Diaz is a fucking idiot, but he's got us on this one. They play it every... I caught the last 40 minutes when he makes Hector fucking shoot himself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
From there on in, that movie does not play. When he goes to that Mexican house... And he starts to, who's Rosa Sanchez?
Yeah.
And he shoots the little brother. Remember, the brother gets hit by a truck, and he goes out in the fucking auto. He goes out there with a fucking shotgun.
Yeah.
And he pulls the brother. You know, I've been in those situations, Doug, where you're just running on fear. You're on fear now. You're just on fear, and that's it. I'm going to go out there with this fucking thing, and I'm going to take my chances. And all of a sudden, the crowd turns on the little Mexican dude, and he brings him upstairs, and he calls the guy. And before he puts him on the phone with his brother, he shoots his fucking hand off. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. The scene that got me was the scene with the guy in the bomb, and he sticks the bomb up his ass. And then the other thing where I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but where he goes, every person has his masterpiece, and Creasy's about to paint his masterpiece. Oh, like that whole
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken. It's one of the greatest. I'm telling you. Listen, I what's the movie that was supposed to win the Oscar last year that Barbara Streisand, my favorite Jew of all time, walked out and sank his ship? Amadeus. What was that fucking movie last year that came out that it was supposed to win? They spent $800 million on this movie. The guy's genius. The cartoon with the chick, the purple fucking chick.
Are you talking about
a
couple years ago?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the name of that movie? Avatar.
Avatar. You know, it's like that shit is great. Yeah. But you know what, man? As far as the movie's concerned, I tell you, it's like you say, Rick. It's not even about the movie no more, as long as the movie fucking moves you. When you watch Good Will Hunting, if you don't feel like getting off the couch when Ben Affleck makes that speech, then I don't know what the fuck's wrong. Ben Affleck is becoming a fucking savage. He's a kid that we got to talk about. This kid's becoming, that Argo was great, but I'm still fucking stuck on that movie when he robs banks in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still stuck on that. Yeah, I'm still stuck on that movie. Him and that chick, I would eat that big chick's pussy.
Everybody wrote him off. Everybody thought he was a pretty boy and he made shit movies.
God, he made shit movies.
But bam, when you come back and you hold on to something that you care about and you put it on that screen, you know what? There's a reason all those actors wanted to work with him. Because the kid delivers, man. And I saw him at the Egyptian Theater when he was promoting The Town. I saw The Town and Gone Baby Gone. The nicest guy you could imagine. Answered the questions, talked to people. You know what? He's real. He's an honest guy. He's not some Hollywood bullshit asshole. He's up there. He wants people to really understand and see his movies because he cares. You can see that. You can see that compared to somebody who's just there collecting a paycheck and just doing it because he has to, because the studio says he has to. This guy cares, and it comes out in the film, man. It comes out.
Talking about comedies, I watched Office Space also last week. One of my fucking...
You like Office Space?
Oh, that's my shit, dog. That's my shit.
I would never see you watching.
Oh, that little Hindu and the fucking redneck neighbor, and that's my world. The little kid that works as the waiter at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to be entertained. You know, I watch Porky's and I get entertained. Porky's was on. Yeah. I got to watch the part when, you know, the dick in the shower. That's brilliant as far as I'm concerned, because it's so stupid that it makes you go back and back. You know,
that's the thing. It doesn't have to be intelligent. It doesn't have to be highbrow. It just has to be good. Does it make you laugh? If it makes you laugh, then shut your goddamn mouth and start laughing. That's it. Don't talk to me about high-end comedy, or you don't like fart jokes or any of this, or they're skimming the bottom. Funny is funny.
Well, I have a question for you, Rick. I'm looking at Denzel's IMDb because I... Like, A Man on Fire was my best friend and I's favorite movie for a few years. And then, Training Day was I even almost like that better than Man on Fire. It's close to it. But then he did, like, American Gangster. And I was so excited for it, and it kind of fell flat. And then he did, like, Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. And it's, like, him... Actors kind of fall into roles. And, like, he falls into, like, the older black man teaching some guy in, like, the twist. And even with bad comedies... I loved Anchorman, but ever since Anchorman, every movie Will Ferrell does is that movie, and you get sick of it. Why do actors do that? Like, they find one role that works, and they beat it to death until no one wants to see
it. It's not the actor.
It's the studio. It's not the actor. It's the studio.
It's the studio. But I come to you with $20 million. Listen, if it was up to Paramount, De Niro would have done 1,000 gangster movies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. You know, with Will Ferrell, it's the same character. Every fucking movie, you know, after like Anchorman, which I was Anchorman too. Did it come out?
Hasn't come out yet, but it's gonna be awful.
How do you know?
Because it's his last try, but it's gonna be awful.
You know, I gotta tell you something. American Gangster was a movie that I tried to get in. I got hired in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then they recasted the movie, and I watched that movie, and I have it on my DVR. I don't think it's a fucking great movie.
Yeah,
it's in my DVR, and I have it in a box, and I'll tell you why. Because of what Rick says. In every movie, he shines somewhere. He's so good. He really is really fucking good.
Oh, no, he's great in it.
But in that movie, when his mother, when he's going to shoot the cop, and his mother stops him in the hallway, and she tells him, "Can I talk to you?" And he's chewing that gum, and he's not listening. You know what that reminded me of? My mother. When she would chew that gum like that, That gum, that meant something was going to go down. Like, she was making a phone call. She was about to do something. And I that scene always destroys me. She sits him down. Mm-hmm. And she said, let me talk to you. But even me, a beat-up old woman, knows there's no business. She tells him about the brothers coming up here. If you'd have been a baseball player, they would have been baseball. Remember? And then she goes, one thing, it's bad business for cops. And he goes to walk away, and she fucking smacks him. Watch that scene again. Denzel shines in every movie. He does something that's worth $20 million because he does the work, guys. Every day he goes through every emotion you could go through. He cries, he laughs. He's a brilliant fucking actor.
Yeah.
He really is. And nobody gives him shit. And it was weird when I seen him nominated for that movie. He got nominated this year for an Oscar for that, did he not?
Yeah.
For Best Male.
Yeah.
So I got and I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I see that? I just thought it was the Scully story. So I didn't really want to watch it. I thought it was a story about the white guy that put the plane down at the Hudson because I heard he was fucked up.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I was excited. I'm glad you liked it. And you like the gray? I would never have guessed you liked the gray. Like, it just seemed like it. Like, I didn't see it, but it just seemed
gray.
Like...
I'll tell you, when I walked out of it, did you see the gray?
No. What is it about? Weird.
The gray is about Liam Neeson is a guy who's lost his wife recently, and he works for the oil companies up in Alaska shooting wolves. He shoots timber wolves to keep them from attacking the workers out in the that are working on the pipeline. They get on a plane to fly home, and the plane crashes. So now they have to survive the elements and these wolves that are attacking them. And I'm sitting, and it's primal. It's very basic. There's not a lot going on in this movie, but it's an all male cast, and it's how they're getting on each other's nerves and killing each other, and the machismo. And there's a guy named Frank Grillo in this thing who does an amazing job. And the fact that they didn't nominate him for a Best Supporting Actor, it's a crime. It was criminal, because that guy was unbelievable. He plays this badass, hardcore Mexican that thinks he's tougher than he is. Liam Neeson puts him in his place, and they have to survive this world. And there's a scene near the end where the wolves are chasing him and they're beaten up and broken down, where Grillo just sits down and looks off into the forest, near this river, and the speech he gives, God damn, it touches you. It makes you, it gives you, I had chills. I was just sitting there like, this movie, when I got out of this movie, I called my old man and I said, Dad, have you seen The Gray? He said, no. I said, go see it tomorrow. Whatever you're doing, go see it tomorrow and then call me. And we talked. He called me afterwards, and we talked for like 2 hours, because this is a man's movie. You don't get that too often anymore. You don't get men being men anymore. That everything is this half queer shit where it's a bromance, or guys are, they're trying to gay men up. No, these are men. If they had made this movie 25 years ago, it would have been Charles Bronson in the wilderness. It would have been Lee Marvin. You know, it was like Death Watch in a weird way, because it's like, it's just about surviving, seeing how far you could go and not giving up, and it was beautiful. This movie really kicked the hell out of my soul. I love this movie. It was the last thing that I've seen that just knocked me out.
And one other thing about you, Rick, that you know, like, Rick even knows what movies are coming out. Like, Rick will say, dog, in November, I'm taking you out to lunch into a movie. You're like, Rick, it's fucking May.
Oh, yeah.
Rick knows. Like, Rick turned me on to The Wrestler. Me and Rick went to see The Wrestler.
That's a great movie.
What else did we go watch? You turned me on to, like, we went to see The Wrestler, the Clint Eastwood movie. Like, we went to, like, three movies in 3 days or something.
We saw a lot of stuff.
We took Edward San Juan to that movie with Clint Eastwood where they were insulting Asians. We're sitting there throughout the whole fucking movie with Edward San Juan, and they're calling Chink and fucking Gook and fucking... And he's living, and he's howling. He's fucking howling at the thing, and I'm so embarrassed. I love Edward San Juan, you know? Movies that you're looking forward to that are coming out?
Oh, God, there's nothing right now until... God, what is coming up that I'm thinking of? Because it's just been, like, I don't like to get my hopes up too much, because things are usually so bad. But goddamn, what the hell is being made right now? Scorsese's going back. You know what? The one thing that I'm looking forward to, and it's going to sound weird, but I really am, that HBO movie about Liberace.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Michael, because Michael, if anybody can do that, it's Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, yeah. You're right. I forgot. I saw the commercials for it. Yeah, me too. Me too. It's going to be very fucking interesting. Very interesting. You're right. I forgot. You know what else is the movie I'm looking forward for? I thought you'd be looking forward to Grudge Match with your boy De Niro in it.
You know, when I heard about this, I wasn't sure what to think. I was like, you know what? If they do it right and they do it with heart, it's going to be great, because I think De Niro's got great films left in him. And the last Rocky Balboa, really, it touched me. It was good. It came back after that shit that was Rocky V. Balboa made me cry a couple of times. It was like, you know, he lost his wife. He's got nothing else. Boom. And just the idea of De Niro back in the ring fighting Stallone. And I got to admit, you know, when you were calling me about it, I was just like, you sounded like a little kid talking about working on that movie. I was like a kid listening to you. I was like your little brother. Just like,
oh, we were. We were.
Tell me about how.
Because you're the only person. Like, Rick, you're the only person who understands. You're the only person.
Yeah.
We had late night talks at the fucking Comedy Store, and we took acting classes together, and we talked, you know, it's not even about the movie. It's not. I don't think it's going to be an Academy Award winning movie. Stallone's going to be great. And Kevin Hart, I'm looking forward to seeing him. And, you know, I'm always looking forward to seeing these movies. You're always, for me, it meant something else. You know what I'm saying? For me, being on that movie, I'm not even excited about the movie coming out, because I already did my job. I stood there toe-to-toe with a guy that I never thought I'd even get to meet. I saw him and analyzed too, but I wouldn't even breathe his fucking air, bro.
Yeah.
And now I was forced to breathe his air.
You know, right after you talked to me, I called my mom. Right after you talked to me, I was like, Ma, Joey's working with De Niro. And she was like, really? And I was like, Ma, you don't even know how. It was like, I was so thrilled. I was like a kid. I was giddy. I was just so excited. I was sitting there. I was like, I can't wait to see this, because it's like, it's somebody that I know sharing the same. You're not like in one room and he's in another room. You're sharing a scene. You're sharing a few scenes with one of the greats.
Rick, and I got to be honest with you, Rick. I'm going to tell you a confession that I never told nobody. I'm going to say it on the podcast. What's the movie? I did a movie called Boilermaker. What's the guy in that movie? Press up Boilermaker. He was the guy that was in Deer Hunter.
George DeZunza? No.
No.
Oh, John Savage.
When I did Boilermaker and I did the scene with Savage, I always knew. Right there is when I knew in my heart that I had gotten somewhere in my acting. I cannot lie to you. As Ubatz is John Savage, by the way, people, is a fucking sweetheart. And just this guy works constantly, guys.
Oh,
constantly.
God.
Bad movies, big movies. And when you work aside him, you learn so much, because he gives every movie 100%. But just to be standing next to this guy that did Deer Hunter, right there at that coffee table when they called cut, I knew that I was good enough to work with Savage, eventually I'm going to bump into De Niro. I never told nobody that. And you know what else happened during Boilermaker? That's when Marilyn died. That movie changed my life. That was when Marilyn told me to quit doing coke. I got that movie with the AA guys. Montoya got me that movie because he knew the writer. It was such a weird movie, but me meeting John Savage in that movie at that coffee table and doing the scene with him, I mean, I worked with him for 18 fucking days. I knew right there that I was in a cross path with fucking De Niro, right there. I never repeated it to nobody. I never told my wife. I just knew it, that if I was good enough to be in a room with Savage, De Niro was fucking next. And it took, 8 years, but I finally fucking worked with the man. And now, you know, you can't put that on your resume. That's not for your resume. That's for nothing. That's just for you knowing. You know what I'm saying?
That's just for me knowing.
And you know what, Rick? If I did it, you're going to do it next. And we're both going to fucking laugh about this someday.
That's the dream, you know. You got to have something that you're holding on to and making it worthwhile. And you know what? There are very few people that I can actually say inspire me. I've listened to the podcast. I was listening to it religiously. Now I had some things that came into my life that I got derailed. Now I'm listening to it again. You are doing. The two of you are doing a hell of a good thing for a lot of people. You're showing them the world. You're showing them how to deal. It's like don't make the mistakes that I've made. Understand what the options are. And you know what? It's a beautiful thing. It really is. What you do for an hour, 15, hour, 20 minutes every Monday,
it's amazing. And Rick, I got to tell you something. People, the Flying Jew said to me, he would listen to a podcast I was on, and that they were saying, you know, they're blowing smoke up my ass about you inspire, and I felt like shit. He knows I hate all that stuff. Because he doesn't, what these guys don't understand, Rick, is that we love them for giving us an hour for doing this. Yeah. You have no idea how happy I am that people actually listen to this shit that me and this fucking Jew across from me talk about, which is stupidity and disgust. But they get the main thing of what we're telling motherfuckers, is that if we could do anything, you guys could do this. You know what? I yell at this fucking guy. I told him to get in the pool, Rick. Rick, by the way, me and Rick walked into the walls of Weight Watchers together.
Oh,
yeah. And we lost all the weight together. We went to the meetings and we used to destroy those fucking meetings. We used to destroy those chicks. We used to torture
them. They loved us.
They fucking loved. The 9:30 meeting was the hot meeting in that Jew neighborhood down there. Yeah. And it's the toughest Weight Watcher because right across the street, there's the best bagel place in L.A. The best. They have the two different types of salmon and all that shit. I mean, you see the dreads go in there? They go in there, wrap with the Israeli flag. This is the real bagel place on Beverly. Am I lying? Beverly off La Brea, is it?
Oh, you're telling the truth.
That's Jewville, dog.
Oh, God.
We'd have to walk out of there and fucking put blinders on not to go in that bagel place. So I don't want to hear it when you're fucking juicing, my man. I ran with the real Jews down there. They'd stand by the door and watch it like, eyeball you, Weight Watchers. Are you serious? We fucking killed Jesus in Nazareth. And you're fucking worried about a few pounds, you dumb fat fucks.
Oh, we had some good times.
Good fucking times. Rick, we're going to have you call in once every 2 weeks, even if it's in the late call, just to talk about what movie you're seeing, what's your plans. I love you with all my heart. I'm happy you were able to do this today.
I love you.
I really wanted to get you on this. I had a couple of shots, and I kept saying, how do we build this for Rick? I want to get this over. And like I said, the door is open. If you got a wild bug up your ass and you just want to get in the car Thursday morning and drive to Arizona and meet me and the other Jew at the Stand Up Live in Phoenix, we'd love to have you, brother.
That sounds like a good time. Maybe I can make that happen. We'll see what we can do.
I love you, buddy. Thank you, and thank you for your family and everything, for being a fucking knowledge. Rick Ramos, where they follow you on Twitter?
They call me Gondo Ramos.
All right. On
Gondo, G-O-N-D-O-R-A-M-O-S.
And do me a favor. Gondo Ramos, put your movie pick of the week on there. Even if it's an old movie, and I'll retweet it so these motherfuckers know so they get off my back.
Movie pick of the week.
God. But you got to do it every week. Start it tomorrow on Twitter. That's what I'm saying to you. All right, I love you, cocksucker.
I'll put it out there, and I'll send people out to my blog, okay?
All right, I'll retweet your retweet so that people see it. I love you. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk soon, all right?
Stay black, cocksuckers.
Bye, Rick.
You good, brother. Thanks.
That's knowledge for you cocksuckers right there. Rick Ramos is a bad motherfucker. All these guys are make-believe compared to this guy. And I tell you this sincerely. They're make-believe. We know about... They know nothing. This guy was walking into fucking Omar Sharif last night. He went to see whatever that movie last night. That's what he was doing. Then from there, he went to see Los Lobos for Cinco de Mayo. Rick don't fuck around. Rick works hard so he can party hard. He went to see Lawrence of Arabia at the fucking Egyptian Theater or some shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this kid don't fuck around. We go to double features. I mean, I just can't go to the amount of movies he goes to because my mind will sizzle in those movie theaters. Yeah. Good podcast today. I had a good time. It was knowledgeable on a fucking Monday. We got the motherfucking party started. And that's all you could want. You know what I'm saying? On a fucking Monday morning. Did you do any, let me see, 3 jumping jacks. Let's go.
You do fucking jumping
jacks. I'm doing, bitch. The fuck? You think I'm scared of some jumping jacks?
Yeah, I do. Let's see. There it is. Just to watch live for this, people. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's like 4, 5.
Bitch. So you better do 6. And while you're doing, I gotta throw the knife at you and shit. Hurry up, you fuck. Look at you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There you go. 7. Look at you. 8, 9, 10. Look at him jumping up and down. Look at the flying Jew. Flying.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful motherfucking Monday.
Two fat guys winded, huh?
Winded. I love you all my heart. Like I told you earlier, Onnit is doing some great things. And I can't tell you them about them enough. Go to Onnit.com. Take the package. Get the Get Alpha the Hemp Brain. Force fucking protein bar. Get the Hemp Force. And remember, the Hemp Force bars are not chocolate. They want to do a vanilla chai, which is fucking delicious. The chocolate is in the
powder
for the milkshakes. That's good. And you mix it with some almond fucking milk, and you put a little coconut oil on that motherfucker. Stop it with a banana a la Einstein. And so go to Onnit. Put on the fucking box church, CHURCH, and get your little discount. They'll put you on a mailing list. They got t-shirts. What are you doing over there with your hand?
Sign language, CHURCH.
What, you know somebody that's deaf?
No, I took it in college.
Did you really?
Yeah, for it.
That's what you spent. That's what you write fucking checks. That's what you took a loan out to learn fucking sign language?
I had to take a language.
This is what I'm dealing with, people. So you learn sign language.
I'm awful at Spanish.
Israeli or Spanish.
I took
Chinese.
Hebrew, but I'm bad at it.
What'd you get in Hebrew?
Fucking like a B. I took it when I was in Israel, but I'm awful at it. And I like sign language.
You better go back on Alpha Brain. You're acting a little fucking little box. You better put it in your little milkshake. You
what? Because I took 2 semesters of sign language 3 years ago?
2 semesters of sign language 3 years ago. You fucking... I'm going to stab you before the week's over. I feel a felony.
What? You have eggs? What the fuck you having eggs for if you're not at this deli in New Jersey? Everything
what
anyone
deli
does.
In New Jersey?
Nothing,
what deli in New
Jersey? But anything I do. Anything deli? Anyone
I
does.
I got a torch to you. Fuck, you got to get it together. You better swim today, too. I don't give a fuck about clouds and thunder.
You don't eat this cream cheese unless you know the cow. What the fuck?
I'm going to pick you up at 2 o'clock to go swimming in the fucking pool.
You're not going
to
do nothing. You're going to have fucking another edible when you get home. You're going to call me and be like, dude, I passed out.
I got shit to do today.
I got
the kid till fucking 9. I got to make a move at 10. I got shit cracking. I'm doing Greg Fitzsimmons tonight.
Oh, cool.
At 7 o'clock. I can't wait to do that. I got to go to dentist Wednesday. Tomorrow I got shit going on, cocksucker.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Now, Thursday, I'm going to stand up live in Phoenix. So if you're down in the Phoenix area, Scottsdale, Yuma, wherever the fuck you're at, we're rocking the house. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, stand up live. Phoenix, come on down. Jaguars, the strip club, they're fucking come on down. Yolanda Cano, that sexy little Mexican, she's coming down with a bunch of freaks from Jaguar. Come on down. The following week, I'm at Governor's in Long Island. I think I'm at Governor's one night and the other club the other night. Get your tickets. Those are going to go fast. I'm going to have a good time. We got some savages up there. They're showing up with a pound of fucking weed. They're rolling 2 joints a day till they get. You think I'm kidding you? Every day on Twitter, they send me a fucking picture. They're rolling 3 fucking joints a day till they get to up to like 800 fucking joints for the weekend. They say they ain't fucking around. So I suggest you get your plane ticket now, cocksucker, flying Jew. Then you'll really be the flying Jew. We'll get you on Egyptian Airlines and shit. And then in June, Utah, I'm coming to Wise Guys. I'm going to Lexington, Kentucky. And I'm coming back to San Jose with my main man, fucking Alcatraz, Lee Syatt.
Oh, shit.
What else you got going on? What are you going to juice this week?
Yeah, I'm
going
to start doing the videos, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, and today. Then I want to, there's one guy who's doing it with me. It's, I think, Albert. Let me go quickly check. Jackson Roy Lewis Jr. I don't know why I thought it was Albert. So, yeah, it's we're on day 6 today, so.
And you feel good? How many pounds you lose so far?
Like down like 10 pounds.
Let me see. Do the little crap.
Oh.
Do the little crap. There you go.
Yeah, and I think I might want to do more than 30. I want to get down because I lost 66 last time, and I gained about 10, 15 back.
We'll have Mike Doce call next week.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Here's the deal. But you got to go over to that little gym because the more muscle you build, it helps you burn fat and helps you burn more calories.
No, yeah, I like
we're
swimming.
Not teasing you.
No, we're not teasing you
here. Listen to me, dog. And I'm going to tell you this. When I was your age, people would tell me the same shit. I didn't listen. Ended up being a fat fucker. Now I work hard every day. I try a little something every fucking day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but you're in the right track, and I'm proud of you. Try swimming. Well, a couple of days a week, you know, swim.
I like
get some sun. Good for you know, like I said, I went for a blood test. And the doctor laughed. He goes, you have the same problem everybody else has in L.A. A low fucking D. How do we have a low D deficiency in the sunlight? Because we don't jump in the pool. We don't walk out there without a hat on. Walk. The sun's bad for you if you fucking go out there all day and, you know, put that brown sauce on you and sit out there and bake like a fucking mook. But if you just go out there and get a taste of it and appreciate it and give it love, it'll give you love back and ain't going to give you no fucking cancer. That's it. As far as we're concerned today, this podcast is over. If you want to go get some t-shirts, you want to see my tour dates, you want to see what's crack-a-lacking, go to joeydiaz.net, get your commemorative Church of What's Happening Now long sleeve t-shirt or hoodie. The hoodie ain't going to work for you because it's fucking summertime. Except in Colorado, the penguins are moving back up there, so it's still fucking snowing. We got t-shirts, we got tour dates, we got everything. Yarmulkes, you slipping with the coffee cups and you didn't make the demo reel. That's where you fucked up.
What do you mean?
I wrote it down. Now when I get off the podcast, we're going
to
see.
You have to give me the fucking thing.
There's no swimming today.
Oh, and Testicle Testament is coming out soon.
Oh, shit. Testicle Testament 5. This is a good one, I heard. It's coming out May 28th.
Okay,
I didn't do this one. Somebody lip-synced it for me.
Somebody lip-synced it for me.
So it's going to be a good one. And we got a lot of shit going on. We got the live show on the 26th or something at the Ice House.
Okay.
And these tickets are going to go. This is off the chain. I've already got people saying, we got tickets already. So if they already got tickets, and it's not even fucking May last week, it's going to go. So don't fuck around. We're going to get a good guest, and we're going to rock you live. I'm going to eat edibles and fucking get fucked up so I can talk shit on David Spade. And everybody else. I love you guys. Since we're talking about love, hit him with some real fucking love today and cut it out. This is as good as it gets. I love you, cocksuckers. Lee, give him a kiss. There you go.